I mean, I really, I'll be honest with you, I trust Alan Taylor because I know how the man prays. I see him down here all the time, and I don't see him out talking. I see him locked up in here praying. I trust somebody like that, and I trust them to get the heart of God. And we don't, you know, we don't talk at all ahead of the services. In fact, I just barely found out before today that he was even doing the second service. So he didn't know what I was going to teach, and I certainly didn't know what he was going to teach. Yet I noticed some real parallels in the message today. And the reason I'm saying this is that in the same way that very often you'll say, well, whatever Dave teaches on Sunday morning, Gary will be teaching along that line Sunday night. Well, it's because all day long I meditate on what was taught, because it means the Holy Spirit's trying to get something across to us. And two things that I noticed today, one of the things that I said near the end of my message this morning was, we're coming to a time where you're not always going to receive nicey-nice prophecies. You remember that? You know, I mean, normally prophecy is always ooey-gushy and just what you want to hear. And now, not always with Dave. I've seen, even from 10 years ago, I remember one time in a line, in a conference, Dave was about to pray for this young man that he'd never met before. And Dave began to weep. And I didn't know what was going on. Later on, Dave told me, he said, that man's called to be a martyr. He'll die on the foreign soil for the gospel. And it just, and that's the way it is going to be. It's kind of like God telling you can't change it. Or, you know, you shouldn't try. It's like when Jesus told Peter, now you're going to live to be an old man, but you are going to die a martyr. And, you know, Jesus wasn't after Peter to believe his way out of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So I said that, you know, and I gave example like Paul. I mean, right before he was arrested in Jerusalem, he didn't know what was going to happen. He says, I don't really know the details of what's going to happen to me there, except in every city I go to, I get the witness of the Spirit. Now, what he's meaning is people were prophesying to him. One of them, we're told, was Agabus. We're told that time. And Agabus took Paul's apron and wrapped it around his, you know, showing that he was like in bonds. So Agabus says, whoever this girdle or apron belongs to, he's going to be bound. He's going to be like, we'd say today he's going to be handcuffed and arrested. But Paul says, in every city I go to, I get that same witness. They're all telling me the same thing. But he says, I'm going anyway. You know, people tried to talk him out of going. But Paul says, I'm bound in the Spirit. In other words, he was firmly convinced it was God's plan for him to go. And wouldn't that be something? You know, we're always wanting to... okay, now here comes Alan's message. Let me finish on that comment there. And so how would y'all like it if everywhere you get in a prayer line, well, every place you're going, you're going to be handcuffed and thrown in jail? Oh boy, I hope they missed it. You know, you go to another church, another service in another city where they don't even know you, and but somebody who really can hear God, you know. And the Lord says you're about to, you know, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be handcuffed and thrown in jail. And every city he goes to, he gets the same prophecy. See, that's a little different than the way it is here. Not here at the prayer center, but in our generation. They've taken those words that says prophecy is for exhortation, comfort, and edification. And they've taken that to mean ooshy-gooshy, nicey-nicey. Yet I see in a lot of, you know, like the prophecy from, definitely Jesus was predicting the future. Not predicting. He was... See, it's not really a predicting when it's God. Okay, I don't want to say it that way. To us, it's like, you know, if God uses you in prophecy, trust me, your first thing you wish on the inside is, oh, I hope that's God. Because part of us is going to... It's like a gamble. I hope it's true. But see, God lives outside of time. He is not bound by time the same way we are. I see, you know, Einstein saw... His own mathematical equations proved to him that time is really a big circle. I mean, if you go far enough, you come back to where you are. So I want you to picture with me a child's railroad track that you build like we build for coal, you know? And here's the whole thing. Here's the whole eternity on a railroad track. And that's time. Well, God is like in the center of that thing, or on the outside, either way you want to say it.
But he's not guessing where the train's going to be at a certain time of day. He just walks over there and looks. So when he, it's like when he gives, when we deliver a prophecy, if it's really God, it's not a speculation. Now, he just walked over and looked at it in time. He said, yeah, oh, this is the way it is. And he comes back and he tells you. Now, regarding personal prophecy, because some people say, well, what about warring over the prophecies that you receive? See, a lot of prophecies that you receive are conditional based upon you. Things about, we get them here at the prayer center all the time. One of the phrases I pick up through Pastor Dave all the time is, so be strong. Do you notice that? Mm-hmm. It's in there. What does that mean? Translate that for me. What does that mean? Keep praying. That's what that means. Keep praying, keep doing the message, keep fasting, keep meditating the word, so be strong. What's the opposite of being strong? Run off. Quit praying. Attend the first church where they tell you you're okay. And if you do that, then those prophecies that you've received are not going to come to pass. It's not because of him, it's because of you. He told you to be strong, you chose not to be strong. Adam would still be blessed in the garden had he not chosen to disobey God. Okay, enough of the prophecy instruction. So anyway, that came through me about, you know, and I don't know why the Lord is having me deliver that part right during this time. And here comes Alan with both guns blazing. And he comes right out going, okay, it's a false doctrine when they tell you that if you serve God and obey Him perfectly, you're going to have diamond doorknobs and Cadillac cars and you know, earrings on all your ears and he's talking about men, I think. No, but anyway, and, you know, jewelry and all of that. He's going, that's false doctrine. I'm going, at one point, he said, I didn't even know this till y'all heard it today, too. He says, I've actually had meetings refused to me because I associate with the likes of that Gary Carpenter. I didn't even know that. Well, hallelujah. You know, what do you say to that? You know, but I'm thinking to myself, Alan, you keep preaching like this, they won't have to refer to me. I'm going to be worried about associating with you, buddy. I'll make sure he gets a copy of this. He'll like that. But then in the course of his, he gave one of the most eloquent and best exposés, or not expose, explanations, teaching out of Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 that I've ever heard. And it's perfectly accurate. The way he delivered it, you don't ever hear it that way. But it's exactly the truth. The real, you know the way that chapter has been used, it's how you get better cars and VCRs. And nowadays, it's iPods and hot rods, you know. Now, the thing of it is, you're not throw out the baby with the bathwater either. And that's maybe what he's going to talk about tonight or maybe coming up. Because still yet, your faith is how you receive from God. According to your faith, be it unto you. But in the context of Hebrews 10 and 11, the way Alan taught it was absolutely right. So since you weren't, there's some that weren't here, let me capsulize real quickly. The whole book of Hebrews is written to a group of Jewish people who grew up under the law. They thought the right way to please God was keep the law. By your own works, you pleased Him, and that's how you made heaven. But then somebody came and preached the gospel to these people, and they heard about Jesus and His blood, and if you put your trust in Him, then you receive His righteousness. Instead of you having to do your own works, Jesus perfectly kept the law and died as your substitute. So if you believe in Him, then trust in His blood, then the exchange is He takes your sin and you receive His righteousness. And they believed that and they became Christians. But now the pressure has been put on them by their parents, by the society they lived in. You know, if you became a Christian in that society, you couldn't attend the best university. You couldn't go to synagogue. You couldn't, you were got the lower class jobs. You couldn't even get a good education. So the pressure was on. Let me try and, you know, and you can, boy, I can just see these rabbis, the guys with the long beards, you know, and they look pretty impressive, you know, and they come to a young person. I think about the young people that we've got going to this church, and they just thunder at them. Who are you to reject the God of our fathers? We know who Moses is. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses that brought our people out of Egypt. Who is this Jesus? We don't even know who He is. You need to turn away from this false gospel and return to the God of your fathers and return to the law of Moses. Boy, can't you hear them just thundering at them, you know? So the pressure's on. Trouble is, if they turn away. See, and that's why it says here in Hebrews 10, once you've been enlightened, if you turn away, you read the whole book, it says, well, you're really crucifying Jesus a second time in your heart. You're putting Him on the cross again saying, I don't believe you're God's Son. I'm treading underfoot the blood of Christ and counting it an unholy thing. If you turn away from Him as your Savior, there is no other Savior. That's the warning. Amen? Well, also that's why He's telling them, ever since they got enlightened and they've been holding fast to their profession of faith, all kinds of persecution has come against them. All kinds of pressure has come against them. It talks about the spoiling of their goods. In other words, in the natural, if you're just going to go by the natural circumstances, they were much worse off now than when they believed. Can I get any testimony from any people that before you heard about this message of mortification and edification, in the natural, you know, before Sue and I even became believers, you know. See, the world would still yet today look at Sue and I, where we live, the 11-year-old car we drive. Cole says that. He says, Papa. He's sitting in the back in his little seat, you know. Papa, I like your car. At that time, the liner was starting to come down in the back. Right over his head, he's looking at it. He goes, but Papa, you're going to have to work on this car. Otherwise, it's just going to become a crummy car. And he was just being as matter-of-fact as he could be. Wasn't he? And he says, but it's a good car. He says, you ought to keep this car and just buy another car. But see, now the world would look at my car. And they'd look at the clothes that I wear compared to what I used to, you know, in the real estate days. And they'd look at the house we live in and the clothes that Sue wears. And they'd think I'm crazy. Why in the world did you give up your career? Why did you switch from, and to follow this Jesus? I mean, and they would say, and then later on, then we started coming to the prayer center. Oh, my God, you know. Then he starts having you leave all forms, in our case, all forms of income, do everything with nothing. What's that old sign that says, we have done so much with so little for so long, we can now do anything with nothing. And that's almost true. It's almost true. You just learn, yeah, I'll obey you, Lord. Step out there, you know. Walk on the water again. Hallelujah. But staying with his message, summarize. Well, look, I don't want to take the whole time here summarizing the message, but the point of it was this. If those Hebrews were going to judge by the external appearance, then they would quit and they'd stop this. Because under the law, if you do what the law says, then you'll be blessed. Isn't that right? See, that's really why the rich young ruler couldn't follow Jesus. Why was he rich? He had kept the law. Even Jesus didn't rebuke him when he says, all these things I've kept from my youth up. In other words, we know nobody perfectly kept it, but if you did your best to keep it, and then if you stumbled, you offered the appropriate sacrifice, then in God's economy, you perfectly kept the law. And he had done that, and so he'd done his part, God had done his part, and he was very, very wealthy. You know, he was very wealthy. But Jesus knows in this covenant, it's different. In this covenant, and the pattern, the only pattern to look at is Jesus, who is the Son, the very heir of God, yet He was absolutely, of His own choice, God's slave. His life was not about being blessed. His life was about service. That's our covenant. So He tells the rich young ruler, well, if you want to come over into this covenant, all those blessings, the reason you've been obeying God, you go sell all of that, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And he couldn't do it. In other words, if there's nothing in it for me, I'm not going to follow you. Well, see, and Alan was bringing out, now that for benefit of the tape, this was Alan Taylor, not Gary Carpenter, that said this. See, that spirit has been resurrected with a false doctrine in our modern day, that if you do this, God will make you rich. It's just a perversion of the same old religion, and it's just not true. Now, God is going to raise up some stewards. He's going to raise up men and women that are going to handle billions, if not trillions, for Him. But I'm telling you, they're going to have the same heart as Jesus. And they're not in it for the money. They're not in it for the power. They're not in it for what it can get them. They're stewarding it for the King. It's His finances. It's for His kingdom. It's for His purposes. So, I'm asking the Lord, I'm meditating on this. I've just been thinking, Lord, why are you, we all kind of, at this church, you pretty well basically knew all that already. Why are you emphasizing it at this season? Well, the passage that came to me is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is page 290. And we're going to start really in chapter 2. I don't know if I'm going to do a whole lot more than just read this. We'll comment on it a little bit. But I'm really kind of excited that the Lord would move in this direction in those two services that way, because He really can't do that except with some people that's grown up a little bit. And I think He's preparing us for something that we're about to enter into that's going to be glorious. But it's also going to be... I want to quote it just exactly right. I heard it. I just now heard it again. I haven't heard that phrase in years. Well, see, in a way, the gospel is free. It really is. I mean, it's absolutely free. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. Okay. Right on the other hand, the gospel requires your whole life. I mean, if you're going to go all the way with Him, to go to heaven is free. To be His disciple will cost everything that you have, and really everything that you are. If you don't even love your own life, you can't love your own life more than Him and be His disciple. So it is free in the sense of going to heaven, but being His disciple will cost you all that you have and all that you are. You literally get changed more and more into just Him. That's why Paul could say, to me, to live is Christ. In other words, he'd been so conformed to the mind of Christ and the purposes of Christ, it didn't matter to him that he was in prison in Rome. It really didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was the people in that household. And would they hear the gospel? Would they be saved? I hope we're all getting there. I'll tell you another. I'm going to recommend a good book. I don't recommend books very often. Y'all know that. But one that'll it'll evaluate you on a heart level, and it's free. The title of the book is Tortured for Christ. And it's by Richard Wurmbrand. Tortured for Christ. You can get a copy free from Voice of the Martyrs. And you can just Google that phrase, Voice of the Martyrs, and find their website, and you can get a free copy. Yes, they will put you on their mailing list. I recommend you receive what they send you and read it. And you're not ever obligated to send anything, but you will. Because they'll capture your heart. And I think that's a good thing. Richard Wurmbrand, Wurmbrand, might have an E on the end of it, I'm not sure, Wurmbrand, Wurmbrand, and it might have an E on it, but just Google the phrase, Voice of the Martyrs. He is their founder, he's the one that they used. He's passed on now, I believe, but he served 14 years in Romanian prison for preaching the gospel, and was actually tortured. physically tortured. They told him his wife was dead. After he'd been in there a few years, she wasn't. They had her in another prison, torturing her. Anyway, you read, I'll tell you what, I read a book like that and I wonder if I'm even saved. I say, God, am I even saved? People that would lay down their life, you know what he did in prison? He evangelized. They'd separate him from the other prisoners. Those prisoners had developed a code, kind of like Morse code, and he'd preach the gospel, tapping on the water pipes. Preach the gospel to them in any way that he could, still winning souls for Jesus in the prisons. It costs everything. We in America are so... The blessing here is wonderful in many ways, but it's dangerous in many ways because you can become like that frog that, you know, if you tried to throw that frog in the boiling water, he'd jump right out. But if you just slowly, slowly, slowly turn up the heat, he just dies because it was so gradual, he didn't realize what was happening to him. I think that's what happens with prosperity and a little bit in America. And your life goes by. I'm going to pray tomorrow. I'm going to get serious. I'm actually going to do that 31-day fast. Can't do it this week because how did he put that? Pizza Hut's got a special this week, and I need that special. You know, so I'll start next week. You know, and we get boiled to death. Our life goes by. So when, and you know, all of a sudden we're standing before the king, and he's going, "Now, when were you going to obey me? When were you going to?" Yeah, me too. Have mercy. So when I was meditating on this and praying, saying, "Lord, why today? Why are you doing that? Why did you say that through me about difficult prophecies coming? And then why did you take Alan down that path, which is a difficult message, you know?" And this is the passage that kept coming to me. It starts off 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice how it's, you know, again, in all these prophecies, did y'all know you can get the prophecies from the prayer center by email? Did you know that? If you don't know it, you know it now. And you can send an email to joan@daveroberson.org, J-O-A-N. And if you're not signed up for it, you can get signed up for it. And like once every month or once every 2 months, they just send you an email that has them all out. And you know in those over and over again, you'll hear the phrase, especially through Dave, "So be strong." Okay, now notice in the very first verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness." Out there in the lobby, hanging on the wall, is the first prophecy that ever came through Pastor Dave when they started the prayer center back in the 80s. The very first word. And the Spirit of the Lord said through Pastor Dave, the key word is endurance. I have now been here since 1992, 16 years. Let me give my testimony. Let me add my witness. The key word is endurance. Endurance in the prayer closet. Endurance with the circumstances that are not exactly the way you'd like for them to be. Endurance. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by people that get upset over the color of the carpet. Don't be moved by all the little petty squabbles and you try and get them to grow up a little bit. Don't be moved by your own shortcomings where you know you're not yet conformed to the image of Christ and you epoxy your britches to a chair and pray again anyway. And your motto is, "Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray." Thank God for that phrase. It saved my life, you know. Save my life, you know, and get back in there. But endurance is the key. And why? So you can endure hardness. Hardness. See, getting back to Alan's message for just a minute. If the gospel really
if the real gospel is like these guys, these modern preachers say it is, if that would have been the truth, if that's the gospel Jesus was preaching, you do know they wouldn't have put him on a tree and killed him. The world would like that. Cadillac cars. Diamond doorknobs. I like the way Alan said that, though. He says, you know, that's only useful if your neighbor doesn't have one. If everybody on the block has a diamond doorknob, it's just a doorknob. I like that. Now, the real gospel is not any more popular today than it was in Jesus' day. Gospel of holiness. Purity. We're going to see here where he's encouraging Timothy to abstain from youthful lusts. Yeah, that's real popular with the world. They want to hand out condoms. I mean, when they're just, not, you know, barely just getting out of elementary school. Some of them now even in elementary school. Not teaching them to flee youthful lusts. Now, this is how you can have your lusts and be okay. That was just through verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. Let's see what it doesn't say. Thou therefore run away from hardness. Thou therefore change your gospel. Thou therefore only listen to the TV preachers. Endure it. Live in it. Like a good soldier. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now see, I know he's writing this to Timothy, who is a full-time minister, and I know really, but I don't know for sure what, you know, you're calling. I don't know if you're called a full-time ministry or not. But as I look around the faces in this room, and I know you enough to know, you are soldiers. I'm not talking to Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public here. You've been through, you wouldn't be here on the third message today on a Sunday night if you were not a soldier. So you have, now, if you're not full-time, then you have to some degree get entangled with the affairs of this life. You know, at the offering today, we went to Titus, where he says, our people need to be gainfully employed in respectable occupations. Remember that? But what he's saying is, your life isn't about those things. You know, you don't spend your whole life building a pineapple business. And that's what you're going to stand in front of Jesus and say, that's my great achievement. Well, he may have you in the pineapple business. How many people did you win to the Lord in that business? How much of the profits from that business went to the kingdom? See, that's the kind of things he's going to ask you. Okay, verse 4 again. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now see, even in the natural, you can take a private in the army. You do know they're not allowed to have a part-time job at Quick Trip. Not if they're called up to active duty. If they're in active duty, say, well, I can't go to my watchtower right now. I can't go to my post because I got to be able to shift down to Quick Trip. No. While you're in active service, you're full-time. Okay? Well, I don't care what you guys are occupied in. I don't care what kind of job that you're in. You're still full-time soldier for the Lord. And he's preparing us for hardness. The message, the real message, is not popular. Have you noticed how they're flocking to get in this place? The only thing that'll ever bring them to is the power of God. The only thing that'll bring them is the power of God. You know? So he says, verse 5, if a man also, now he's comparing it to like the Olympics, if a man also strive for masteries, well, he's still not crowned unless he strives lawfully. In other words, in today we'd say, well, they'll take away your gold medal if they find out you use steroids. What's he implying? No mixture. Pure, serving the Lord only. You got to strive lawfully. You got to do it right. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Now he's given Timothy a pattern. You know, be like me, Timothy. Here's my gospel.
I'm perfectly obeying the Lord, and I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. He wrote this from prison. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. We hardly ever hear these verses taught, people. How about this next one? If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. How many of those wonderful little tickling ear messages have you heard on this next one? If we deny Him, He also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet He abides faithful because He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He doesn't leave you to have to guess what kind of thing he's talking about. He gives you an example through Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says, and their word will eat as does a canker or cancer or gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Philetus. Now here's an example of a profane and vain babbling, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's so popular. That message right there is so popular. I told you about the guy last Sunday. Just in case you weren't here, I'll tell you again. He's talking with me about he says, I kind of lost my way. He says, I was hearing God pretty good, and I was doing the message. I got off track some, and I know I'm off track, but I can't find my way back, you know. I can't seem to hear Him. And the Lord just... Now, don't be scared in the prayer lines, because it doesn't happen every time. But the Lord, I didn't even hesitate. I just knew exactly. I said, well, it would really help if you'd quit drinking and sleeping around. That was in the lobby out here last Sunday. Not where anybody else could hear it. And, his eyes was like, he didn't even try and deny it. Well, I've been trying to quit. I said, well, you need to quit. You need to repent. Tell God you're sorry. Repent. If you fall, do that again. But don't say, I'm going to quit. Quit. If you have to quit 12 times a day, quit. Your heart will eventually make that, you'll cross over there. But I said, you can't play with this stuff. It'll kill you. And I said, God hadn't quit talking with you. You've seared your conscience. Because the new nature... Where you hear those things like don't commit adultery, or in this case it'd be, he's not married, in this case it'd be don't commit fornication. In the same place where you hear don't get drunk, and he's getting drunk. I said that's the same place in you where they hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. So I know you want to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, I do. Well, he talks through that same door. It's like a door opens and you hear the same place where it says don't get drunk. Is where you hear the Holy Spirit give you your instructions. And you've been nailing 2x12s over that door. I don't want to hear it because I want to drink. I don't want to hear it because I want to fornicate. Oh, but I want to hear you, Holy Spirit. Well, He talks through that same door. And if you've nailed it shut, seared your conscience, it's not His fault. Quit blaming Him. And if you repent and ask Him to help you, you'll start seeing those boards come off of that door. And your conscience will start getting tender again. And when you're about ready to go drinking, you'll start
hearing that again, don't do that. And it's up to you. So let's read that verse again. This real popular verse. See, and it's on all levels.
See, with me right now, Jason calls Starbucks the house of the Lord. But see, to me, right below that is El Chico's. I love El Chico's now. I mean, that's for benefit of the tape, that's a local Mexican, or not local, I guess, it's a Mexican restaurant chain. Man, they make fajitas and beans and rice and hot sauce. Everything that they have there, I just love. Now, y'all know that I've got a mandate right now. I got instructions from the Lord to lose 1,000 pounds. Okay, I've got 28 down and 1,000 to go. It's still like it's forever, you know. Okay, so right now, but see, it's the same thing. You know, if I'm going to get on that guy, if the Lord's going to use me, I doggone sure better not be nailing 2x12s over that door myself. Don't want to wind up being a hypocrite. So we're at El Chico's today. The trouble is, see, on my diet, the thing that I'm losing the weight on, I can eat the fajita meat and I can eat the grilled veggies. I cannot eat the tortillas and the rice and the beans, and I for sure cannot eat that brownie with the ice cream or the sizzling apple dessert pie. Just a moment. I had a little moment for myself there. I went away for just a minute, but I'm back now. But they bring the tortillas, and I've asked them not to, and they bring it anyway. And so here they set it down. I got my sizzling little plate of, and that's good. I like the meat and the grilled veggies, but right there, they set it right there. The rice, the beans, and a big old deal of steaming hot tortillas. And everybody else is eating everything at the table. Everybody. Here comes, my fork begins to wander towards the rice and beans, you know. I mean, it's not me, it's my hand. It's my flesh, it's not me. And there's a voice. Did I not tell you to lose 1,000 pounds, you know? What are you supposed to eat? Well, you know, but no. And here we go, see, it's on whatever level, for different people, it's different things. Right now, I'm under a mandate. For all I know, he's saving my life again. See, the last time he did this, he saved my life. I lost 40 pounds, and right after that, I had a heart attack. And I come close to leaving the planet. See? I don't know if I would have survived it had my heart been carrying an extra 40 pounds. I'm glad I obeyed him. Well, you know, I heard him this time a while back, and I started on the journey, not knowing that Jinho was going to call in Korea and asking me to come in October and minister there for 2 weeks. Well, that's a difficult airplane ride. Plus, they will work you over there. The last time I was there, I did 30 services in 10 days. You need to be a little bit trim. You need to be a little bit fit. Then, I have this little bit of knowing. I don't know much about it yet, but television is coming. Now, it's not a matter of vanity. You know, really it's not. But they say television, anytime you're on TV, it adds 15 pounds. Well, and, you know, so people are, and they should be. You see, I'll just be honest, I have trouble receiving from a 400-pound preacher. I just do. Hey, and there's no condemnation. Hey, I was preaching, doing the best I could while I was still smoking, and the Lord used us. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not condemning them or anything, but I was just telling you myself, I have a hard time receiving from a 400-pound preacher. Okay? If he doesn't have any more discipline over his flesh than that, I wonder how much he's hearing God, or at least obeying God. So, and I'll tell you, that is very strong over in Korea. That's another reason why I see that the Lord was saying, all right, you got to get this off. See, I didn't go last year, but the Lord knew I was going this year. Anyway. How in the world? Oh, depart from iniquity. That's why. Yeah. And see, the thing of it is, it's just as much, I don't know, you know, in the world we wouldn't look at it the same. A guy that's out getting drunk and a guy who's having the rice and beans.
But if I'm denying the Lord when I have received a direct instruction. All right, come on now. Just for a moment, we'll get real. I got to quit pretty quick. He's saying endure hardness as a soldier, and I'm having trouble not eating the rice and beans. I might have a little, or the apple dessert, but I didn't touch it. I didn't. It's a fruit. Just a moment. Let me write that down. That may come in handy. It's a fruit. I can have fruit. Oh. I love this. Hallelujah. Revelation. But we're supposed to endure hardness as a soul. Oh, I want to be your... Yes, Lord. My life... We're going to do these confessions. My life belongs to you. My time belongs to you. My body belongs to you. I don't want you to eat...
Rice.
I don't want you to eat the rice and beans. I'll stay with that one. Oh, God. Yeah, don't eat of that tree. Right now, that's my forbidden fruit. It really is. He's told me not to eat of it. Right now. Okay? Well, what's iniquity? Iniquity is disobeying the Lord. And I don't think it's any different, to be honest with you. And that doesn't mean, we're not talking about going to hell now. We're talking about, am I going to be a good soldier? Am I going to be able to endure hardness and do what He's called me to do? I'm going to have a hard time if I can't push away the rice and beans. Hallelujah. I always like to stand by Daisy because Daisy does these 40, she really does the 40-day fasts. Has done them for years. Praise God. I'm not supposed to tell a woman's age.
76
years old. Look at this skin. Every woman in here just going, you know, the slap of the service, just walk by and slap her. You know, how dare you have skin like that at 76 years old? But see, she used, I know for years, didn't you do 240-day fasts a year? And Dave would just, he'd say, now later on when persecution comes, and they arrest Daisy, and they say, they throw her in the jail. Yeah, if you don't repent, if you don't reject this Jesus, we're not going to feed you for 7 days. He says, Daisy, try not to laugh. Like, okay, 7 days. I go 40 days at a time twice a year. I'm not going to feed me for... See, you're able to endure a little hardness as a soldier when you've disciplined yourself like that. Y'all getting this? Well, what is departing from iniquity? Whatever the Lord told you, that's what we need to be doing. And if we're not, in my view, it's iniquity. Well, okay, let's go. Let's go on. We want to finish this message tonight, right? We don't want to continue this one next Sunday. We want to get completely through today. So he says, verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now I'll just tell you the truth. In every house, in our house, Sue has a box where she puts her jewelry. We have a different container where we put the trash. But we need them both. So for years, my lifeline was, all right, at least I can be a trash can in the house of God. You need trash cans? Here I am. Okay? And that allowed me to at least function where He could use me. Okay? But I don't want to stay a trash can. I'd like to become more of a vessel of honor. One that He, like it says here, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be. But see, that's contingent. If you purge yourself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. See, that's not the gospel. The world is not teaching that to our children. They're teaching them how they can have their youthful lusts and just not, you know, suffer the consequences of a baby to mess up their little life. I mean, a baby would interrupt their pleasure seeking. You know, and so now we have abortion. You know, 50 million babies has been killed since Roe v. Wade. I think it's even more than that now. That was the last time I heard. I don't know how many. It's a lot of babies. 50 million. 50 million. You know what that's like? It always reminds me in the Old Testament where the God of Molech, because they wanted a better life, they wanted the blessings of this god Molech to come and rain on their crops. So they would make their children pass through the fire. They would offer burnt as their children, as sacrifice. We've got a whole generation, a whole... where women are offering their children as a sacrifice. Offer up their life to the god of pleasure. Because it's... And I know occasionally there's might be, you know, it's because of rape or something, but you know and I know, the vast, vast majority, those babies are disposed of because they're inconvenient to their lifestyle. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith. Charity means love and action, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. One of the things you'll read about in Richard Wormbrand's book, during the time, now you've got to remember, this was 30 years ago, during the time that Russia was imposing that communist rule upon Romania, he blamed at the time, to some degree, and should have, the Western world, Britain, the USA, for not doing something to come rescue them. But he says, you know what the great debate was in the theological world at that time, what they were focusing on rather than us being killed and starved and tortured? No, they were talk about unlearned questions, foolish questions. The great debate was, now let's see, if a fly lands in the holy water, does the fly become sanctified, or does the holy water become defiled? And they were having conferences to discuss things like this while Christians are being killed and tortured in Romania. So that's, you know, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now there should not be a chapter 3 here. This know also, that in the last days, would you all say, if that was the last days, how much more is this the last days? That in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. That word means lovers of silver. They love money more than they love God. They love money more than they love people. Thank God there's no covetousness in the church today. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be gentle unto all men. Anyway. Boasters. Proud boasters. I try not to watch any of that stuff on TV anymore, but within the last year I saw one of them, very popular, stand up there in his... How many buttons do they have on those suits nowadays? 5, 6 buttons, you know? And got his little collar and everything. And he's going, I don't even know how many cars I have. You know, just... Sounds like a little bit like boasting to me, you know. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high. Now, Paul is writing the same thing up here where he says gentle unto all men. He's the one writing this. It doesn't mean you compromise the truth, does it? Boy, is he laying it out or is he laying it out? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. These are not the world. He's not talking about people that don't declare religion. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, do what? Turn away. Today he would say, turn off the TV. Turn it off. Just turn it off. Don't fellowship. All right, we got to stop somewhere. Let's just stop there. Now, why a message like this? On the one hand, it's kind of hard. You know, you can feel a heaviness in the room. Okay? On the other hand, it's very encouraging to me that the Spirit of the Lord would move upon Alan. Because, again, I know that Alan prays, and I trust him to bring forward what's on the heart of God right now. And him not knowing what I was going to say and then seeing some of the similarities in it, I'm encouraged that the Lord would talk to us like this. Because you guys are the diehards. You're the Sunday night, Wednesday night bunch. You're the ones that, and even though Marvinus is over here, ooh, ow, this is such a, hey, I want to be like Marvinus when I grow up. The things that she has to endure every day, I want to, you know, we shouldn't. Okay. See, when she gets on herself like that, I'm going, yeah, right. I should be half as tough as her. This lady's tough as nails and loves Jesus more than her own life. And how I know that is by how she's handling certain things. And you talk about enduring hardness probably more than any person in this room. Okay? I admire you, girl. Don't you ever think I don't. Hallelujah. How many is ready to endure hard? Okay, let's do it this way. How many want to push away from the rice and the beans? Now, I'm speaking in types and shadows. Whatever your rice and beans is. See? For somebody, their rice and beans is certain television programs. For other, there was a time in my life when the rice and beans for me was rock and roll music. Thank God that's not today. But anyway, no, because it wouldn't do you any good. See, it really wouldn't. This is all of this is. He didn't say. Now, when I get there, I'm going to lay my hand on you, and you'll be able to do all this. That rats. No, you can do all this now. See? It's up to us, though, to make that decision, endure hardness as a soldier. I just thank God we're coming to a church where at least we can get the truth. You think of all the people that sit under that and think it's true. Thank God for this church. I am glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. All right. Father, have mercy on us all. Father, help us all push away from the rice and beans spiritually, Lord. In a type and shadow, whatever it is for us. Father, and we do need your help. Paul said, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us walk in more of His strength. We know we can't do this on our own. It's really His nature on the inside. But Father, strengthen that. Help, by your Spirit, help bring that to the forefront where we can walk as and endure hardness as good soldiers. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Now, the other verse that I heard today, that I almost preached on this one. Know ye not that friendship with the world makes you the enemy of God? I'd have to go look it up. I'm not sure. Friendship with the world is enmity, makes you an enemy of God. I think, is it James? Probably is James. Sounds like James. Well, see, that's the other one. And I never did really get into the message I thought he was going to let me teach tonight. Previews of coming attraction. See, all of this, what's really talked about there in Hebrews 11 are men and women that change the world. And Alan's always talked about, don't you know we're going to change the world? Well, how did Noah change the world? Some people say, well, if it had been for his faith, there'd have been no flood. That's not true. If it had been for his faith, there'd have been no ark. Mankind would have come to an end. And he would have perished with everybody else. Because of Noah's faith, God's plan for man was able to continue, and he changed the generation that he lived in. How about, you can take any of them, how about Moses? He could sense the call of God, tried to do it his way, killed an Egyptian, trying to be the deliverer. Took 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, God purging him, before he was ever given his first assignment. Then 40 years with the children but he changed the world. He delivered God's people out of the bondage of Egypt, type and shadow, out of the bondage of sin. But for the what purpose? Someday the Savior was going to come through those people. Praise God. It's all good stuff. Their faith of these people, because they believed God and was not moved. Talk about Noah. It had never rained. Never. Ever. He said the earth was watered by a mist. Talk about faith. He said, no, there's rain coming. What is rain? Well, somehow God got it across to him. And you talk about not moved by what you can see. Nobody'd ever seen rain. And build that ark for 100 years with no evidence that it was ever coming except one thing. And that's God's Word. We're here to change the world, first in this city. To bring a supernatural revival, something that has not really been seen, not in truth, for about 2,000 years since the book of Acts, to bring a supernatural revival. And if you go by what, you know, the appearances, the building, the people, yours truly included, having trouble pushing away from the beans and rice. If we look, if we go, you know, if we go by any of that, we're going to quit. But we're a group of, someday, our names are going to be written in there, see? People that changed the world. They changed the generation that they lived in. Because we would not quit. We endured. And we saw what He had promised come to pass. Glory to God. That'll preach, won't it? Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
It's